The two high-ranking officials from the capital arrived in the tribunal of Echigo on a late summer afternoon. When Seimei brought the news, Akitada was sitting on the remnants of the veranda in his private courtyard. He had been practicing his flute, while his young wife played with their baby son in the small enclosed area between their living quarters and the ramshackle assortment of halls and stables which made up the official headquarters of the province. It was no elegant courtyard with stones, lanterns, clipped trees, and raked gravel streams, but just a small square of dirt with a few weeds growing in the corners of the broken fence and under the veranda. They had been quite happy that afternoon. Tamako had swung the baby high up toward the limpid summer sky and laughed at the child's delighted gurgling. And Akitada had smiled as he practiced dewdrops on the autumn grasses. But he had felt a small pang of guilt when her sleeves slipped back and he saw how thin her arms had become. He should not have brought her here to this inhospitable place where the rain and snow blew into their rooms and the winters were as cold as their reception had been. But she had come eagerly, putting aside her old life to be a good and loyal wife to a struggling government official. Sometimes he wished Tamako were a little less correct about her duties. Before the birth of his son, there had been intimacy between them. In their nights together, she had begun to open up to him, to share her secret thoughts after sharing her body. Because he was quite deeply in love with this slender, intelligent woman, he wanted her to be more to him than a dutiful wife and mother of his children. He loved his new son dearly, but was jealous of the attention she lavished on him. It seemed that she had little time left for her husband, now that all her love and devotion were given to the child. But these feelings he kept to himself. When old Seimei shuffled out on the veranda with his news, Akitada laid down his flute with a regretful glance toward his young family. "More messengers from Hyankyo?" he asked, looking up at the thin white-haired man, who was servant, secretary, healer, and teacher to all of them. "I'm running out of reasons why we cannot increase the rice taxes and corvée at the same time. You would think they would know that the men needed to work the fields if there is to be a harvest." Seimei looked mysterious.
"Not this time, sir. These are really important visitors."
Tamako's face lit up.
"Important visitors?"
Cradling the baby to her chest, she joined them.
"Really? From the capital? Oh, it must be good news at last."
"Well, who are they?" Akitada asked, getting to his feet and brushing the wrinkles out of his second-best silk trousers.
"They did not give me their names, sir. I hope it is good news. It's been 6 months since you finished your tour of duty. A dreadful winter, especially for your lady."
"It has not been so bad,"
Tamako said quickly, but she hugged the child a little closer and looked at the broken shutters of their house. It had been dreadfully hard for them all. Akitada had feared for their lives, his young wife's because she was with child, and Seimei's because he was old. What had started as a temporary assignment to take care of legal matters and paperwork for an absent governor had quickly turned into a nightmare. Akitada had been only a junior clerk in the Ministry of Justice when his stubborn pursuit of a murderer brought him to the notice of a powerful noble. When his name was put forward for the job in Echigo, Akitada had been flattered and excited by the distinction. He had taken his young and pregnant wife to this snow country, expecting to serve for a few months and then return to a better position in the capital. But they had spent a long and bitter winter fighting the climate and hostility against imperial authority without support from Hyankyo, and now they were apparently forgotten. Another winter loomed, though Akitada had written many letters to ask for his replacement and his back salary, for they were also nearly destitute by now. Perhaps, he thought hopefully, his letters had borne result, and they could finally leave this godforsaken place behind forever. Perhaps the duly appointed governor was about to arrive with his own staff and take over the duties that had overburdened Akitada. But even as he clung to this thought, he doubted it. It was very strange that the visitors had not given Seimei their names. Akitada glanced at his wife and saw the naked hope in her eyes.